Good afternoon. We do have handouts that are going to be coming around. Don't you like that? That's easy. You can sleep through services. You have a handout afterward when you feel more awake. I want to say hello to those people who are watching at home. And 12 days to Thanksgiving, there may be more messages on Thanksgiving. There's so much in the Bible about Thanksgiving, and this is a message about Thanksgiving. And as one lady said, Thanksgiving is her favorite American holiday. How many of you, Thanksgiving is your favorite American holiday? How many is it Super Bowl day? No? Not. I didn't expect any ladies to. I thought maybe one guy or two might think that was the best. So I am going to talk about Thanksgiving, and I suspect all of you are thankful for different things. One thing I have liked to do when we have Thanksgiving with my family is that we eat, and sometime during the meal, we'll go around the table and we will say what we're thankful for. At least one thing that we're thankful for. Do any of you have something like that that you do? Where you say what you're thankful for? No? Maybe you're not thankful. I don't know. I don't live with you. But, I know one time, and it's in here, in this handout, that we went around the table, and my daughter Melissa, she's my baby girl, and asked her what she's thankful for, and she said, "Oh, just the usual stuff." And I said, "Well, what should we be thankful for?" And she looked at me and said, "You have a wonderful daughter." And that's in here. Now has her own home. She's got three children, and one of them is completely grown and out of the house. But she still has two of them. And the other, she still comes back and lives there. But anyway, she wouldn't say that today. But she's... Where'd she get her sense of humor anyway? Now, you want to know what to really be thankful for? We are not going to go through everything in this handout. And I have set my watch, and we're going to finish at least by 50 minutes. Don't you feel thankful already? We may even finish up before 50 minutes. Then you'll be even more thankful. But some years ago, I decided to write out, not for the sermon, I wrote this out for me. Many years ago, although I have updated it occasionally. And I was thinking, what am I thankful for? And I came up with five categories of things I'm thankful for. And they're listed right on the top. And it'd be interesting to ask any of you what you're thankful for. In fact, I would enjoy that if we just all went around the room and said things that we're thankful for. And to hear each person what you're thankful for. That would be a nice Bible study as far as I'm concerned. But the first number one is spiritual things. What a blessing. The spiritual blessings from God. And then secondly, more than houses, cars, is my family. I have four children and nine grandchildren and two great-grandchildren, although I have married into a lady who has... Even more, she only has two children, but she has 8 great-grandchildren. So it's wonderful. And together we have 10 grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren. Am I wrong? 14? And she has a better memory. I'm thankful for her memory. I need it. 14 great-grandchildren. Okay. 14 grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren. All right. She's saying yes. She'll take care of me in my old age. And I've made 82, and she's 84. She doesn't mind that I say that she's 84. And her memory is better than mine. But anyway, the family. Things of the family are, what a great blessing. We're watching these little children. And Eric and his wife, this little boy standing up there during the song service with his arms around them. And their arms are around him. And we're just thinking, wow, how can things be better than family? God's family, that's number one, is the spiritual. And then your family. And then number three, the opportunities that I have to serve. That's a great blessing. After a while, you figure out the great joys of life are when you're serving and helping others, that it just brings such great pleasure. And then fourth, and not everybody, and Dave brought this out, that when he had all that back trouble, he couldn't be very thankful for his health. Although if he'd stopped and thought about it, he might have said, well, you know, at least I can get up and I can see, I can hear. I mean, I've got friends who cannot see. And one of my friends who had a wife, his wife did all the seeing for him. She just died recently. So here he is living by himself in basically an old age home down in Tennessee. And his eyes just died. His wife died. So I wanted to go see him. I was down there recently and I called him, but he had a bunch of people already over. So that was nice, wasn't it, that he had people there. I was going to go by and see him, so I didn't. I had to go down to the dentist, and on the way back I was going to stop and visit with him. Then, so fifth. So many people in this world are thankful for cars, houses, physical things. I put that last. And I mean, Renee and I have a lot to be thankful for. That physically, too. We have a car and a truck and a house, our little duplex, and we're thankful for it. But you know, it's interesting going down through here and looking at it. Something in Job 35 always impressed me. Remember how Job and his friends were all together and they were arguing and carrying on, you know, Job's three friends. With friends like that, how thankful can you be with his three friends who kept telling him, Job, the reason you're having this trouble is you're a rotten, stinking, no good sinner. And you won't admit it. And now those are real friends. Anyway, they came to see him, which was nice. And then a man named Elihu, after they had gone through everything they had talked about, Elihu began to speak. And he was a younger man, so he held up till the end before he would say anything. And Elihu was looking at these, at Job and his friends and all their complaints and everything they had to say. And you know, Elihu was never corrected by God. God corrected Job's so-called three friends, but never corrected Elihu. So the things Elihu said seemed to be correct, and God didn't rebuke him. And in Job 35, I thought something interesting. Elihu basically says, you hear people complain all the time, but how often do you hear people thank God for what they have? That was interesting. Job was complaining. Of course, I mean, Job went through a lot. He lost his children. And he lost everything. And you can understand why he would be upset. But Elihu said something I thought was interesting. Because they were saying, Job's three friends say, you're a sinner, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. That's why God's doing this to you. Elihu says in verse 6, if you sin, how does that affect him? If I steal, if I lie, if I cheat, what have I done? I haven't stolen anything from God. I can't steal from him. How does that affect him? If your sins are many, what does that do to him? You can't stab God. You can't hit him. You can't steal his car. So if you have lots of sins, what does that do to him? And on the other hand, because they all thought they were righteous, the three friends thought they were righteous, and Job said, I'm righteous too. And so Elihu says, if you are righteous, what do you give to him? I mean, when you and I give offerings at the feast or send in offerings, you know, every week or every 2 weeks, what have you really given to God? He owns everything. He can make billions of worlds if he wanted. If you're righteous, what do you give him? Or what does he receive from your hand? Your wickedness affects only a man like yourself. Now, it isn't that God isn't hurt because he loves us. But you can't literally stab God, step on his foot. You can't hand him some money, and he says, oh, wow, thank you. I needed that money. Your wickedness affects only a man like yourself, and your righteousness only the sons of men. Men cry out under a load of oppression. Oh, it's terrible, God, help me, help me, help me. I need your help. My back hurts, whatever, you know. My job is giving me trouble. We cry out under a load of oppression. We all do now, you know. I mean, when I'm in pain, I'm in pain. Some people are really tough when it comes to pain. I am such a coward when it comes to pain. Men cry out under a load of oppression. They plead for relief from the arm of the powerful. But no one says, where is God my maker who gives songs in the night? How many people go to a concert and come out? You go to a concert, yes. But how many concerts do you go to and you come out thanking God for the music? That's his point. How often do we listen to music and we thank God for music, for songs in the night? Some of us love music. We have, you know, back in the time where we had record players, remember that? I can remember during World War II, we would wind up the records player and put in a 78 RPM, big old thick record, and play it. A few of you remember music during World War II, don't you? There you go. I was pretty little, but I was there. It says, where is God my maker who gives songs in the night? Who teaches more to us than to the beast of the earth? How often do we thank God for our minds? Maybe my mind is, I should be thanking God not just for my mind. I should really be thanking God for the lady's mind back there who remembers things for me. And who'll be taking care of me when I'm drooling. May not be long. Who teaches more to us than to the beast of the earth. The spirit in man. And makes us wiser than the birds of the air. Now, that's in Job. Daniel was given truth. We had a wonderful Bible study this morning, and I was asked about when did we first learn something, and I remember I used to listen to WLAC Nashville, Tennessee. You could only hear it in the winter down where I was at the time living with my grandma in South Carolina. And you could only pick it up. It's an AM station. But during the winter, it would bounce off the ionosphere, which is cold, and the ionosphere was hard. So AM radio signals would bounce around the earth. And I'd like to listen to the blues. See, Bobby Blue Bland. Anybody here like the blues? Yeah, there's one man. Okay, all right. A little bit, he says. 6/4 time. Slow. Where it hurts bad. Oh, baby. Da, 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 da. Anyway. But earlier, before that, there was Amos and Andy. You remember Amos and Andy? All right. So I liked Amos and Andy and I liked the blues, but in between there was this preacher. And I'm listening in the winter and he's offered this booklet on the United States and British Commonwealth in prophecy, and it's free. And I'm thinking there's no way that the United States is mentioned in the Bible. And the British Commonwealth. So I wrote a letter. And I was telling them. And I put in the letter, if it's really free. Because I did not want a letter that they held in their hands that just asked for it. And then they send a bill and say, well, we got your letter asking for it. And here it came. And I found out. And I was telling in there, I'd been going to different churches. Depending on which cute girl went to which church at that moment. There were so many cute girls. So I got to go to many different churches. You'd say, what did I worship? I was a pagan. I worshiped heavenly bodies. See, just like the pagans. I was 17. Give me a break. And all these beautiful girls, and would invite me to go to church with them. And I asked God to show me the truth. And He did. Well, here in Daniel chapter 2 verse 23, I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. God answered me. I asked God to teach me the truth because I just found everything that was out there was just a little bit confusing. I can still remember. Now, this was before I went to grandma's for my senior year. I was living on Fort Huachuca. My dad was in the service. And I remember confused. My granddad's Bible was beside the, my mom had put her father's Bible on my little bedside table. And I opened it up and it said in there, not to eat swine. What? I'd never heard that. I'd been going to all these churches. Nobody ever said in the Bible it said don't. Well, I knew it was okay to eat swine because we were all eating swine. We were all eating pigs. And they really taste good. And yet, there it was. I thought, what? I wonder, I know it's okay, but why did God do that to the Jews? No bacon. No ham. Why did he do it to them? And I thought, was it, they're up there and God's saying, you know, what can I do to the Jews now? I've done so much stuff to them and they won't, can't do this and can't do that. What? And an angel says, why don't you tell them they can't eat pork? Yeah, that's good. Let's just drive them nuts down there. But here, I heard Herbert Armstrong say, and he read that scripture. I'd never even heard that. All these churches I went to, I'd never heard anything that, I didn't even know the Jews weren't supposed to eat it. I'd never heard that till I read that scripture. And Herbert Armstrong mentioned that, and he said, that's never been done away. Well, he said it even better. And that's never been done away. I thought, wow, he reads the Bible too. He's read that same verse. I'd never heard that verse ever, all the churches I went to. Wow. What a wonderful thing. And it says, you've made known to us, God made known to me. What was the truth? Wow. I was 17. Daniel 6, verse 10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room. You all remember the story that when the king said you aren't to pray to anybody except to the king, to the emperor, remember that? Do you remember what he prayed for? What he prayed about? It actually tells what he was praying. I just remembered, well, he went up and prayed. What was he praying for? Well, he probably asked for this and asked for that. No. He probably did ask for some things, but that isn't what he did. It says, when he learned the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room. You'd think he'd be feeling really bad. Oh man, I could get in trouble now. Where the windows opened toward Jerusalem three times a day. David prayed three times a day also, it mentioned. He praised God. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, but notice what he prayed about. Have you noticed that? I went for a long time, I hadn't noticed what he was praying about. Giving thanks to his God. Just as he had done before. How many of us give thanks to God three times a day? Twice a day. Maybe a day goes by and we forget to thank God. I mean, when I finally looked at that and I thought, wait, he didn't just pray. It says, it specifically says that those three times a day, I mean, here he's under the threat of death to be thrown to lions if he prays. He not only prays, he thanks God while he's praying. And for his trouble, he gets thrown into a den of lions. Just as he had done before. This was not new. Now, I admire Daniel. Daniel, the most interesting thing about the book of Daniel is not what I originally thought. When I was first coming in the church, I thought, the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, and it's telling all these prophecies, and they're being opened up to me as to their meaning, and it was so exciting. And after a while, I realized, you know, the most interesting thing in the book of Daniel is Daniel. Is Daniel. And what did Daniel have to be thankful for? You know, God said to his great-great-great-grandfather, remember that Daniel was one of the princes that they took out of Israel. And God said to Hezekiah, your descendants will be eunuchs. Remember, Hezekiah had received the men from Babylon, these messengers, and showed them everything that he had. And God said, someday everything you see will belong to the king of Babylon. Everything you have. And he said, and your descendants will be eunuchs in his palace. Your descendants will be eunuchs in his palace. And here, these men who were taken, it says, they took the cream of the young men, princes. So Daniel was probably descended from Hezekiah. And you know who was in charge of them? The man who was in charge, it says, of the eunuchs. It says that in the book of Daniel. You notice, none of them had a wife. I mean, one of the things I'm thankful for is that I am married to a woman. I mean, did you get that from when I was 17? It seemed to be an interest of mine. But not of Daniel. Of course, maybe some of the men are thinking that's why he was thankful he didn't have a wife. But that's not what I'm thankful for. I'm so thankful to have a wife, a sweet wife. So anyway, he got up and he thanked God three times a day. I told you, the good news, what can you be thankful for? We are not going to finish this. This is my own personal list. And you can finish it if you want or not. But I think that's interesting. Just as he had done before. Or in Luke 17, starting in verse 12. You know this story. This is talking about Jesus. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. Well, he had a deeper voice than I. Go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, you know the story, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Now this is out of the New International Version. The King James, also called the Authorized Version. And generally, when you're reading through a commentary, if it says AV, it means Authorized Version. That's the King James. There were not found that returned to give glory to God. Praise to God, to give glory to God. I think that's pretty much the way humans, I include myself, I have to stop and think to be thankful. And that's sad. That's just, I grew up a blessed young man. And parents that loved me. And had a few extra dollars to give me. And I had eyes and ears and could walk and run and just took it all for granted. I mean, we all take things for granted. It's just that's part of living, is when we are born, we can see, basically all of you. We can hear. There's somebody who feeds us, changes us, hugs us, keeps us warm when it's cold, takes care of us in every way. And I just, that's the way it was going to always be. That's the way it always was. I don't remember, didn't remember not existing. As far as I was concerned, I'd always been here and this big person took care of me and always would. And I just took my mom and dad for granted. And that I could see, that I could hear, and that I later I could walk. And we, I got married to this beautiful lady. And I, after a while, she was there morning, she was there night, she cooked, she cleaned, she did all of that. And after a while, you take it for granted. Of course, then she died. I don't take this lady for granted back here, because I've known what it's like to be happily married, and I know what it's like to have lost. So, but we tend to take things for granted. And that's just the way things are. Now, I mentioned there are five categories, and first of all, the thing I'm thankful for is the spiritual. My Father and Jesus. It's easy to take God for granted, just like we take the sun's going to come up for granted. Don't you believe that, of course, the earth's going to spin and we're going to see the sun and, of course, cloudy out there. I take for granted we're going to have sunshine eventually. I take it for granted I'm going to be alive by that time. I don't take it as granted for granted as much as I did when I was young. I mean, a lot of people my age don't make it the next day. They feel fine one day, and people are making arrangements for a funeral the next day. Happens how many? Just like that. So, I've outlived my mom. I've outlived two of my grandparents. Outlived my older brother. He died at age 75. My mom at 80. I'm 82, so I've outlived her 2 years. Who knows what's going to happen? But some of the things, I just find it easy to take God and Jesus for granted. That they're kind. You know, there is no burning hell fire. But think of how many people believe that God, their Father, they worship God. They go to church. They have a Bible. They sing praise to God. And they believe that He's throwing people into an ever-burning hell fire where they will suffer forever and ever and ever and ever. And you know, Satan wants us to think that's the kind of God that we worship. And He's not that way. No one will suffer forever and ever and ever. So God the Father and Jesus Christ, check my watch. We got another 15 minutes. God the Father has a plan of love. Wow. What if Satan were God? We might all end up burning forever and ever. You know, Satan could do away with all the mess that's in this world. He's the one who got all the angels to do it. To do the evil, the ones who followed him. But he seems to enjoy watching people suffer and scream and have back trouble and everything else. He could stop it. And he's got people believing that God the Father is kind of like him. He's just going to throw people in an ever-burning hellfire. And God's not that kind of God. He has a plan of love. He's interested in us. He's interested in us. Just like parents are interested in that little baby, that little child watching. He's interested in you. He listens to us. The ruler of the universe listens to us. You can turn to him anytime and he'll listen. He sacrificed. He called us. What a blessing. What a blessing it is to not be the great of this world. Oh, what a blessing. God's not calling the great. Oh, I'm so thankful that I was not the great. I was, when we had graduation, I was not voted most likely to succeed. Haven't I told you what I was voted for? They're called senior superlatives from high school. One of them I liked, and the other one I didn't. Well, I was voted wittiest. That's another way of saying class clown. And also most talkative. Not most likely to succeed. Well, I was a clown, but as my cousins would say, Fred, you know you were Grandma's favorite. Yeah, I made her laugh. I made Grandma laugh. I loved making Grandma laugh. God placed me in His own family. His own family. God the Father has placed us in His own family. He let us know the truth. We're not out here believing all of this, Satan's lies. What a blessing! Thank you that I don't believe in an ever-burning hellfire. And patient, God has had such patience. Could have destroyed us all. Mercy. All the things I've ever done wrong, which I can't forget, God can forgive, and they're gone. They're gone. He has given us His own Spirit. His Spirit. The greatest thing ever He has given us. And peace of mind. Now, peace of mind because we know the end is peace in God's kingdom forever and ever and ever. So even though we see war and the mess that's going on in all of these poor countries, and we think of what's going on in Europe, but the Central African Republic, what a mess there is there. And throughout Africa, what a mess. I've been to Africa, including South Africa, where some people, the De Campos came from. What troubles? There's going to be an end to it. I have peace of mind because I know that India and China and all these countries and people who are dying, will all be resurrected and given a first chance, and there'll be no suffering. They're going to have 100 years of no suffering and a full opportunity for salvation. It says in Colossians chapter 1 verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Wow. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. That is the truth. In the truth. Psalm 107 verse 8. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Now, I'm also thankful for his laws, his rule, his authority, his government. Let me just tell you, I don't want a single one of you in this room to be top person in the kingdom. And you don't want me. I want God the Father to be in charge and Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever and ever. I don't want any of you to be on top. It's like choosing the president or something like that, or the king. I don't want any of you to be there. That I want God the Father and Jesus Christ. Wow. Give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, his rule, his authority, his government, his laws, which are always good. Psalm 119 verse 62. At midnight, I rise to give you thanks for your righteous laws. I've thought of that when I wake up at night. You know, usually when most of us wake up, you know what we think about. Going to the bathroom. And then I think about going and getting something to eat. Usually eating will put me back to sleep. So, but I've thought of that. Wow. David woke up, and what did he think about? Thanking God for his laws. Why was David a man after God's own heart? Very few people just naturally wake up and thank God for his laws. But David did. And he set the example for me. That since I see David did that, I think when I wake up, you know, I should be thanking God. And what a wonderful thing. And all the things God has given to me. Everything physical, but even better. All my clothes, my house, the sunshine, the rain, the music. He designed babies. Now there's, you know, the most wonderful thing that's on earth that God has ever made. Babies, thank you. Babies. They're the most wonderful thing. And second, mothers. I learned that right away when we had our first baby. This incredible lady took care of this most wonderful baby with her life in the middle of the night. She could hear that baby. We lived in a little duplex and had a little, and it was cold in Boise, Idaho, and during the winter. Because he was born in December. And there was snow on the ground. And we couldn't afford to heat the whole duplex. So we kept the bathroom warm at night and kept David in a, we couldn't even afford a crib. We didn't even have a crib. But somebody had given us a little, what was called a car bed back then. It's just a metal frame with a, you know, just cloth. And so we had that. And we put that in the bathroom, kept the bathroom warm. And then we had an electric blanket. But she'd get up that cold and walk in there and take care of the baby, whatever the baby needed. Boy, she was ready to do it. Wonderful. For everything. Always designed babies, eyes, ears, so we can hear music, whatever else. We can hear babies. Hands, taste buds. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, He has sacrificed His humility. The one who created the universe, His humility. He's touched. Remember how He shed tears? When He saw these other people weeping over Lazarus? And He saw them, He knew He was about to heal Lazarus. He wasn't sad for Lazarus. He's about to resurrect him. But He saw these people weeping and He was touched when it says when He saw them. He has empathy for us. Tears, interceding, leadership, ruling us in righteousness, His government, His authority, the example He set. He's the captain and the pilot of my flight, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And Jesus was thankful. In Luke 22, verse 17, after taking the cup, He gave thanks. Verse 19, and He took bread, gave thanks. He didn't just thank God for everything there. Thanked God for one, then thanked God for the next, and broke it. And then, when He resurrected Lazarus, John 11, verse 41, so they took away the stone, then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank You that You have heard me. Well, of course God heard him. But you know, He didn't take it for granted. He thanked God. Well, I know you all are thankful for many things. So, I actually hope that there are, you say, well, this is a little early. What about the people who are going to come next? Are going to give a sermon? Will there be a sermon on Thanksgiving next week? And then maybe after that, won't bother me if there is. That'll be just fine. Less than 20.